Protection, CBP, said on Friday that 34% of migrants encountered in June had attempted to previously cross the border in last year, compared to an average rate of 14% for fiscal years 2014 to 2019. The number of unique individuals encountered in June was 123,828, according to Customs and Border Protection, releasing unique encounter statistics for the first time in what appeared to be an effort to push back against claims made by Republicans that the border situation is the worst in decades. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, in a statement also highlighted that agents have encountered 454,944 unique individuals so far this fiscal year, compared to 489,760 during the same time period in 2019, when former President Donald Trump was in office. Single adults continue to make up the majority of migrants apprehended at the U.S.-Mexico border, though the number dipped slightly last month. The number of families and unaccompanied migrant children crossing the border, meanwhile, rose notably. Meanwhile, Ed Gonzalez, President Joe Biden's nominee to head Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, faced questions from Senate committee members on Thursday, 15th of July, during a confirmation hearing, striking a moderate tone on immigration enforcement that seemed to appeal even to some Republican lawmakers. The American dream relies upon the rule of law and a functioning legal immigration system, Gonzalez said during his opening remarks to the Senate Homeland Security Committee, appearing alongside Robert Santos, Joe Biden's nominee to lead the Census Bureau. If confirmed, Ed Gonzalez will be the first Senate-confirmed leader of the agency since early 2017, and his nomination comes as Joe Biden attempts to move Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, away from its indiscriminate enforcement policies of former President Donald Trump. Immigration and Customs Enforcement was ultimately never led by a confirmed director during the agency's four tumultuous years under the Trump administration, despite Donald Trump's laser focus on immigration. Ed Gonzalez's nomination is expected to pass out of the committee with Democratic votes, but the question remains how much, if any, support he will receive from the Republicans. Gonzalez had decades of law enforcement experience and was elected sheriff of Harris County in Texas in 2016, overseeing a police force and jail system in the third most populous county in the United States, which encompasses the city of Houston. He has been openly critical of the Trump administration's immigration enforcement policies. "We can be firm on crimes, we can be firm on enforcement, but we don't have to lose our compassion and humanity as well," Ed Gonzalez said at one point during the hearing on Thursday, 15th of July. Gonzalez also notably said he was not generally in favor of outsourcing immigration detention to private companies, pointing to allegations of inhumane treatment at some facilities run by third parties.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth.
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum, dear listeners. You're with us at Islamic Upbringing at IRIB English Radio. We're talking about how the perfect or ideal upbringing can be provided to children, and it's based upon the book Children in the Quran and Sunnah, which has been compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. We talked about a specific question in the previous program, which was about entertainment, and I'm going to just read the question for those who just joined us. It was, how do you deal with boredom at home when children don't have anything to do and they roam around the house all day? And we did address Brother Miqdad, actually. I'm going to welcome him to another program of Islamic Upbringing. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
So the question, as we just mentioned, was that, and we did discuss activities that can be set up, creative ones, and that can involve them fully, limiting screen time, but also providing them with enough screen time, and other things that you might see fit to add, because there's probably a lot more than just what we discussed in the previous program.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, in addition to what we talked about in the previous show, we can add a few things. One of the things that's very nice to do, and you'll find perhaps a little benefit in that, is to involve children in things that are happening at home, right? So whether it's cleaning, whether it's cooking, whether it's some DIY work, whatever the parents are working with or working on, then involving the children actually would be a very beneficial thing. Children would enjoy it. It'll become a good activity. It'll get them out of their boredom. It also teach them new things as well. So if mom is cooking at home, for example, she's making a meal, then involve the child. If you have a daughter who's 3, 4, or if you have a son as well, you can ask him, for example, to pass you the flour, or to break an egg, for example, or to add a bit of salt. And whilst you're doing that, you're talking to them about the recipe, about the different ingredients in the recipe, about the importance of eating healthy. Basically, children feel involved in what they do as well. And then when you present the meal at the end of the day, you can say that the daughter cooked it, for example.
Yeah. Well, my 2-year-old, she cracked an egg, and I had been chewing on the egg shell for quite a long. So, yeah, that happens, but it's all right.
Yes. You know. Same, for example, if the dad is working on I don't know, in the shed, making something, DIY work, for example, involving your children in that. Children feel very happy, they enjoy spending time with their parents, and they feel happy that they're actually beneficial to them as well. They're helping out. They feel, and then often you realize that once they've got this amount of time with their parents, they got this amount of feeling happy of helping out, they'll just take something from there and then move on to something they can play on their own for some time, especially if they have siblings. Then you'll find that the helping part will very quickly move on to a game, a role play game, or a kind of a creative game, basically, and you'll see them busy for quite some time after that. So this is one thing that we recommend a lot, is to get the children to get involved with you, whatever you're doing, and then slowly so you'll see that they'll move on and do their own things.
So as you're young, you always want to be a grown-up, and this actually helps them feel like a grown-up. You know?
Yes. And what happens also, it really helps the role-play games. So role-play games are very important in your children's life.
Do you give them the roles, or they decide themselves? We're going to address that after this short break. Please stay tuned, dear listeners. And we'll be right back.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to Islamic upbringing. We're talking about children and how to keep them entertained. And we mentioned that a child, when you give them the responsibility or involve them in whatever you're doing, they feel a part of it, and eventually they drift away in a positive manner, and they start involving themselves as siblings or even as an individual, and they keep themselves occupied, and that's for quite some time, as you mentioned.
So we stopped at I mentioned role play games basically. So role play games is when children pretend to be other people, either their parents or their friends or a particular role that they play off somebody basically, and through that there's a whole imagination of stories that happen. These kind of games are very useful and very important for children. It builds the imagination. They learn through this a lot. Maybe we can talk about role play game in another show, but you find that role play games last quite long as well, very often, especially if it involves a lot of children when they get together. But you see, role play requires for them to have seen something real, for them to replay it in a role play game.
Or modify it.
So, and this is where involving your children in the things that you do, so whether it's cooking or cleaning or working or writing or painting or drawing or DIY work or whatever it is, basically, when they feel involved in the real world kind of thing, basically, then role play becomes very strong, and they learn a lot from that role play that they're going to copy from what they learn in the real world.
That's actually interesting, because children from a very, very young age, they realize what's real and what's not. For example, if you give your child your wallet compared to a toy, they pick up your wallet, you know. They realize that's something important, that's what I want.
Yes, that's true. They see what's real and what's a toy, and usually they go for things that are real. So this is the point about involving children in the normal the work that the parents are involved with to a certain extent, and this will really help their role play
grow.
Their role play grow, yes, and keep them busy for a much longer period of time. Moving on, another advice, another thing that we can do is change in the environment. So you find that children really enjoy changing the environment. So if you've had a few weeks of a lot of boredom, we don't know what to do, it's summer holidays, everybody is a bit frustrated, on edge, just roaming around the house, we don't know what we're going to do with our life. Change things around. Put the sofas on the left side rather than the left right side. Move all the books around. I don't know, place the bed differently.
And get the children involved also.
Exactly. And a complete change of scene would actually bring about new life. Would make them, first it will keep them a lot busy, right, because it's doing things, and it would actually bring about a completely new atmosphere in the house, and this usually does help.
Yeah, even grown-ups, it helps their own children
for sure. Yeah, now, I'm not saying you should do this every 2 weeks, obviously. Something to do once a summer, for example, or maybe even twice a summer, but that'll be a bit more than that.
I'm probably gonna do that when I go back after the show, because I realize I haven't done that in a while. We're going to come back after a short break. Please stay tuned, dear listeners, and we're going to carry on about whatever it is that we're talking about.
Ya Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam said, "A child's right is to be kind to him when educating him, forgiving him, covering his mistakes, acting moderately towards him, and helping him."
Welcome back to Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about entertainment for children, what role we've got to play. We left off at moving things around, which is very interesting. For me, I like that. I might not like doing it myself, you know, but I just like seeing it. But I should do it myself, get involved, you know, not being lazy. Sorry, I drifted off. And so that's what we're talking about.
So changing the scene really helps. It brings about new energy, a new atmosphere, makes children a bit more happy, basically, and able to play a bit more on their own through because of the change. And this naturally does happen. You could go to the extent of painting the walls all over again, or another wallpaper, for example, or these kind of things, but I'm not even talking about that. So I'm just talking about simple things, whether it's changing the position of the bed, for example, moving the books around in a different corner, changing the TV settings, those kind of things, basically, small things. From that, another thing you can also do is go to the attic, or go to the storeroom or whatever you have, basically, and bring back very old things.
If you have any, yes.
So whether the things are lying in the parking, for example, having a clearing out kind of afternoon, basically, where you go back to old photos or very old clothes that you've stored somewhere in a suitcase, or very old tools that you have, basically. You know, the kind of places in at the end of the parking, for example, where it's been gathered for years now, it's time to clear them out. Or in the attic, there's things that are rotting there, for example, bring them all out. This will really actually, it'll get your cleaning done, it'll get a new kind of environment, but it also keep the children busy because it's kind of new things for them. The old things are very new things. It brings back memory, it brings back new ideas of what to do. That's an idea.
Old things might not even be, they might be new for the children because they've never seen them before because they've been sitting there for so long.
Exactly, yeah. So this is an idea where that would keep for children busy for quite a few days, and you'll find there's a lot of learning to do as well. There's a lot of discussion with the family, or we did this long time ago, this is what happened. It brings back memories, and it brings back things that we could have, things that we learned from our experiences, and it's a way to really keep ourselves busy in the summer, obviously through it's family time, it's communication, it's
and get, the children to sit around and listen, that which is something that they usually would not do.
Yes.
But yeah, when you mentioned painting, I remember in our school, our teacher, she allowed us to paint our own rooms, classrooms, and I was the one who decided the colour, and that evening was PTM, parent-teacher meeting, and I messed it up. It looked horrible, and our teacher had to fix something up so that the school isn't embarrassed in front of the parents. Things like that might happen, but, you know, it's worth the entertainment that a child gets while he's at it. Because, you know, you can just always blame the child and, you know, oh, my child did that. Well, not blame, you know, even other people, the guests or other people around you might understand. But what's valuable is that mental growth that your child had. Are we gonna carry on with this topic? Okay, we are. So please send in your questions if it's about this topic or a completely different question that you have at englishradio@irib.ir. That's our email. And that's the same for all our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Do follow up other episodes of Islamic Upbringing at parstoday.com, parstoday.com. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Food for thought.
dear friends, and let us listen to a mind-stimulating statement from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, whose martyrdom anniversary we commemorated yesterday. The tongue is surely the key to every good and evil. You should seal your tongue as you seal your money. The Holy Prophet had said, "May Allah's mercy be upon the faithful believer who withholds his tongue from uttering any evil, for this would be an act of charity by him for his own self, since no one will be saved from committing sins before he seals his tongue."
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The light.
The French artist has created a huge cardboard installation in the shape of the Hanging Bridge. The artwork is 18 meters in length and hovers above Rome's Tiber River with the help of three gigantic helium-filled balloons. Olivier, who created the work, was inspired by famous Italian Renaissance architect and sculptor Michelangelo. The Italian master had been tasked with the constructing a bridge on Tiber to connect the gardens of the Villa Farnesina to the Farnese Palace. However, he died before he could complete the venture. Now Michelangelo's mission has been accomplished centuries after his demise by one of his admirers. Every year, a lot of animals lose their life due to various kinds of accidents, but some of them are lucky enough to get a second chance. Perseus, the Greek cat, is one of them. The stray feline was taken to a vet in the city of Larissa last year after a terrible accident. The vets had to perform three surgeries, but Perseus lost the same number of limbs. However, he managed to stay alive and was given prosthetic legs. Perseus has adapted perfectly to his new limbs and now uses them to get around. He has also managed to snatch the heart of his saviors as visitors at the clinic where he cured have grown. The Japanese art collective has created a mesmerizing environment in a forest where nature and technology come together. In the mountains of Kyushu in southern Japan, the nature comes to life after the dark. Flowers and trees are illuminated in a glowing ripple shine, while rocks turn colorful with light installations. A waterfall made of light pours gently on a bright rock. Some rocks have calligraphy, and artificial pond projects colorful fish too. The artists behind the work say their aim is to unite technology and nature.
The thing is, sometimes people think it's a digital and nature is completely it's against each other. But in the same time, we think it's in a digital and the nature is quite easy to it's merge.
The Japanese team also wants to raise awareness about the original beauty of the nature, which they say is often ignored. To remind people of that, they hold exhibitions combining projections, sound, and carefully designed spaces. So far, the group has organized several art shows of this kind. Animals have been providing protection and service to people since time immemorial. They have not only been the source of food like meat, butter and milk, but also served humans by eating plants toxic to them. Authorities in New York City have taken 2 dozen goats from a nearby farm to the Riverside Park in Manhattan to munch on invasive weeds. They say it's an environmentally friendly win-win for the species removal at the park. The goats get to feast on overgrown bush, and Riverside Park Conservancy doesn't have to dump harsh chemicals on weeds. Park officials say it's both healthy for the goats and good for the environment.
As part of our woodland restoration initiative, 2 years ago, we unleashed a very hungry group of goats into a stretch of the park that had been overrun with invasive plants. And wow, did they exceed expectations. We called it Gotham because we put the goat in Gotham. They chowed down on Japanese knotweed. They noshed on porcelain berry. They snacked on multiflora rose. They easily traversed the hard-to-reach terrain behind me and gulped down poison ivy without even giving it a second thought. Since goats are naturally effective weed whackers, putting them to work in Gotham is like treating them to an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's healthy for the goats, and it's good for the environment. That's farm to table.
People visiting the goats at the zoo say these animals are emotionally intelligent and connect with people. Goats are an ingenious approach to weed removal, eating species dangerous to humans like poison ivy. Of the 24 goats, 5 will call Riverside Park its home through the end of August. For some others, the public can vote to determine which goat will be crowned the greatest of all time. The winner will be announced by the end of the summer.
Singapore unveils one of the world's biggest floating solar panel farms in a bid for quadrupling its solar energy production by 2025. The farm is as big as 45 football fields. It includes 122,000 solar panels. The panels are designed to last for 25 years, and drones will be used to assist with maintenance. The farm is located on a reservoir in western Singapore and will generate enough electricity to power its 5 water treatment plants. It puts Singapore among the few countries in the world with a water treatment system fully powered by green energy. The farm can reduce Singapore's carbon emissions by 32,000 tons annually. Floating solar panels perform up to 15% better than conventional rooftop panels. That's because of the cooling effect of water, and that shading from other buildings does not affect them. Singapore is currently developing 4 other floating solar panel projects. Maybe kittens are considered the cutest baby animals by many of us, but just wait to see this baby hippo, which was born during a full moon. The male cub was born in a Mexican zoo last month. He weighs 30 kilos upon birth. Since then, he has spent most of his time bonding with his mother. The vets in the zoo say he is healthy, playful, strong, and a bit hyperactive. They say some of his habits are surprisingly similar to that of a horse or a dolphin. Generally, reproduction among zoo hippos is not a common practice. Therefore, newborn calves are signs of high quality of the lives and habitats of their parents. A zoo in central France is welcoming the birth of a male giraffe after 15 months of waiting. The calf is named after Melman, the giraffe character in the Madagascar movie franchise. He was born on Sunday in a Bouval Zoo park. He is 170 centimeters tall and weighs 55 kilograms. Zookeepers say Melman is a special baby.
A giraffe birth here. It's our second birth since we've had the group of females established for a few years. So for us, it's still quite an important and exceptional event because it's not every day that we have a giraffe birth.
The giraffe keeper, Say Melman, stood on his feet for the first time 45 minutes after being born. Since zoos have opened in France, visitors can enjoy seeing little Melman playing around with his mother. The birth of the baby giraffe is good news for wildlife preservation, as according to estimates, the number of the animal in the wild has dropped by about 30% since the 1980s.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The issue of marine trash has long worried scientists and environmentalists. Now a French engineer has invented a robot to help clean ocean waste. The Jellyfish Bot is a remote-controlled electric-powered boat that helps clean rubbish from the surface of the water. It's 70 centimeters long and 70 wide, almost the size of a suitcase. The robot can collect everything from plastic bottles to masks and even oil and petrol. Despite its wide-ranging utility, Jellyfish Bot has a rather simple mechanism.
To collect trash, you have to do something as simple as possible, because otherwise, if we put too complicated mechanisms, it can get blocked and things can get stuck in the system. We designed the robot with a slide mechanism that goes towards a net, so we fill up the net, we take back the net, and that's the end of it.
The trash collecting robot is being used at around 15 ports in France, lightening the workload of local cleaners. It has also been exported to countries including Japan, Norway, and Singapore. The makers have also developed an autonomous version of the boat.
Malaysians at a vaccination center in the city of Kuching have witnessed a surprising scene. A T-Rex turned up to get his COVID-19 jab. Fitness instructor Kenny Sia dressed up in a dinosaur costume to amuse people, doesn't he look fabulous, and protect himself. Sia said he made the decision to lift up the spirits of frontline health workers, is exhausted by vaccinating over 5,000 people a day. People rushed to take pictures with him, hailing his appearance and historic. A giant 3D cat has risen to fame in the Japanese capital, Tokyo, bringing joy to citizens amid the COVID-19 pandemic. A massive billboard featuring the cat has been installed in one of Tokyo's busiest districts. The realistic-looking cat on a 4K resolution screen appears every few minutes between advertisements. Depending on the time of day, the cat appears differently and sometimes meowing at people walking by. The companies that set up the billboard hope that they can cheer people up during the dark era of the coronavirus pandemic. The display has already caused a frenzy in the city and among the social platforms, with many expressing joy and amazement at the technology.
Peru is full of natural wonders worthy of appreciation in each of its regions. A zoo in the capital Lima has now unveiled an incredibly cute and adorable Andean alpaca calf to attract visitors amid dwindling zoo goers due to the coronavirus pandemic. This very baby alpaca named Paquita is just 1 month old and was introduced to the public on the eve of the 200th anniversary of Peru's independence from Spain. The zoo has also displayed its families of llamas, alpaca, and vicuña. The three are members of South American camelids' biological family and are traditionally valued for their soft and warm wool. They live in the Andes Mountains, which lay thousands of meters above sea level. Peruvians are proud of the history of wools associated with these species, which have common ancestors with camels.
German tightrope walkers have set a new world highlining distance record by crossing an Arctic valley in Sweden. The group tiptoed a distance of more than 2 kilometers between two mountain peaks in Lapland barefoot. The line they walked on was set at a height of 600 meters. The four members of the team walked the line one after another successfully, despite challenges including the wind and long distance. It took 2 days for the team to rig the line between the two peaks.
A herd of elephants migrating in China have been making headlines for months. Now they have once again attracted attention. Experts monitoring the animals this week noticed two females engaged in a dramatic fight over the herd's leadership, where they kicked and bit each other. The tussle soon ended after a male elephant succeeded in calming the belligerent giants. The fight happened in China's southwestern province of Yunnan. The herd embarked on a lengthy journey last year after escaping a nature reserve and has since trekked hundreds of miles. The elephant's migration is the longest one in China's history. A distinctive feature, no matter of humans or animals, often catches our attention. You might have heard stories about the big fat cow or other animals you love the most. Here we bring you a story about a cow for her not being big, but for being the smallest. Rani, a 23-month-old cow, is being reared on a farm near the Bangladeshi capital, Dhaka. She is only 20 inches tall and weighs 26 kilograms. Local vets say the little Rani has no physical problems, but will no longer gain any weight or height. The owner believes Rani is shorter than the smallest cow in Guinness World Record. The record for the smallest cow so far held by a 4-year-old red cow named Manikyam from the Indian state of Kerala.
We found on the internet that the smallest known cow is living in India's Kerala, which weighs 40 kilograms, but ours weighs only 26. So we believe ours is the world's smallest. That's why we applied to the Guinness World Records. They replied to us saying they will investigate within 90 days.
The tiny cow has also caused tourist frenzy in the South Asian country as thousands are flocking to Dhaka to take a glance despite coronavirus restrictions. The owner says over 15,000 people come to visit her in just 3 days. The dwarf cow has also gone viral on social media. A nearly 22-meter-high sand sculpture in Denmark has set a new Guinness record as the world's tallest sand castle. The sculpture has been constructed with nearly 5 tons of sand. It's made in the shape of a triangle, and a wood structure stabilizes it. More than 30 artists from different countries have worked on the project, carving intricate details on the castle's wall. Its makers say a nod to the coronavirus pandemic was also made at the top of that construction. They say that's because the virus has controlled the lives of people over the past months. The sand piece broke the previous Guinness record that belonged to an 18-meter-high sand castle in Germany.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. The Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about submission to the will of Allah. Today, Monday, is the 8th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this step, we'll listen to chapter Al-An'am from the Holy Quran, verse 71 and 72.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. قل أندعو من دون الله ما لا ينفعنا ولا يضرنا ونرد على أعقابنا بعد إذ هدانا الله كالذي استهوته الشياطين في الأرض حيران له أصحاب يدعونه إلى الهدى ائتنا قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى وأمرنا لنسلم لرب العالمين.
Shall we invoke instead of Allah that which neither benefits us nor harms us, and be turned back on our heels after Allah has guided us? We would then be like one whom the devils entice to wander upon the earth confused, while he has companions inviting him to guidance, calling, "Come to us." Say, "Indeed, the guidance of Allah is the only guidance, and we have been commanded to submit to the Lord of the worlds."
وَأَنْ أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَهُوَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ.
And to establish prayer and fear him, and it is he to whom you will be gathered.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
We accept and follow that invitation that calls us toward Islam, submission, and guides us to trust our affairs to the one who is the Lord of the worlds. The verse 71 and 72 of chapter Al-An'am enjoins us to maintain the prayer and avoiding committing sins of Allah so that we do not confront His punishment. He, Allah, is the Lord unto whom all humankind will be mustered on the Day of Judgment, when everybody will receive the reward or due retribution of one's own deeds.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah. home. I thank you with every breath I take.
We're going to speak about the total submission to the will of Allah. Perhaps the best description of Islam is that which was given by one of the great leaders of Islam, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin of the Prophet and his legitimate, non-prophetic successor. He says, Islam is submission, and submission is certainty, and certainty is belief, and belief is expression, and expression is undertaking, and undertaking is action. Here, Imam Ali alayhi salam proposes six stages for Islam. First, you submit to the absolute truth. Then you take that concept of submission from its level of perception to that of certainty, since purposeful submission as opposed to blind replication cannot be achieved without it. Next, you make belief out of that certainty, since the mere possession of the knowledge of the certain is not sufficient. The reason why you don't touch a live wire voluntarily, even if you are at your busiest or have just woken up and not concentrating, is because you not only know that it will electrocute you, but also because you believe that it will do so. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari received a piece of indication and teaching from the fifth infallible Imam, Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. In that, the Imam told him that we Ahlul Bayt like whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes for us. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes for us to be poor, we like poverty. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us wealth and wants wealth for us, we like wealth. So we find that the accepting or rejecting something on behalf of the Ahlul Bayt is dependent on the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is in one sense one of the cases or one of the manifestations of practical tawheed or practical monotheism or practical mode of accepting whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes for us. In this connection, it must be indicated that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, on the day of Ashura, after having received so many afflictions and so many problems and witnessing the martyrdom of his companions one by one, including his own sons and close relatives, nephews and close relatives, at the time of his own martyrdom, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إلهي رضا لقضائك تسليما لأمرك لا معبود سواك يا غياث المستغيثين. Oh Allah, I like whatever you have determined for me, taslima li amrik, I'm submissive to you, to your desire. La ma'bud sawak, there's no being to be worshipped save you. Ya ghiyath al-mustaghifin, O the most powerful savior.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Today's special, IRIB English Radio and finding peace through submission to none but Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to ponder. In chapter Al-Ma'idah, verse 50, Allah says, do they then seek the judgment of ignorance? And who is better in judgment than Allah for a people who have firm faith? He
informs us that the path to betterment is willingly submitting ourselves to his system by referring all matters back to what his messenger, Muhammad, brought. The submitting Muslim is grateful to his Lord for all his favors. He is ever thankful that Allah has given clear guidance and the Sharia as a way to him. He turns in repentance to his Lord for past ingratitude and wants only to submit to whatever pleases Allah most. Hardship and in ease, how to rely on Allah. On relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we reach to firm resolve. The Prophet was instructed by Allah, and when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him. This verse arms us with confidence to proceed with the tasks ahead. It allows one to remain focused on the goal and to maintain stability day after day. Imagine riding a jet ski into open water. Keep moving at a steady speed and the water will become a firm highway, but stop and go and you will be rocked by the waves onto an unsteady path. Drop the baggage that slows you down and busy yourself with good deeds to avoid wasting time and regret. Remember that tawakkul has two actions. One is in the heart, and the other involves seeking the means available.
In order for us to achieve the true level of iman, we have to submit fully to Allah and the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon him. In one hadith, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِنَّمَا كُلِّفَ النَّاسُ ثَلَاثًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants three things from us. There are three obligations. The first one, ma'rifatul imam. You have to know who your imams are. Number two, you have to submit and accept everything that they brought to you. All of their teachings. And number three, if there's discrepancy or you're not sure what this hadith means, don't say, I reject it. Khalas, this hadith is weak. I don't like it. It does not suit me. It's not compatible with my mentality. Let's throw it. No. Have patience. Maybe you have not understood this hadith. Of course, we're assuming that this hadith is an authentic hadith. But sometimes you'll find people, even if there's an authentic hadith or there's a verse in the Quran, they don't really like it. The imam says, no, you have to submit, you have to accept. In another hadith, Mufaddal ibn Umar, he asks al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He tells him, oh imam, how do we know we are true believers? Is there a sign that shows I'm a true believer or not? The imam alayhi salam told him, yes, there is a sign. Inspect your heart. If you accept everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and the imams have given you, then yes, you are a true believer. This is the meaning of Islam.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
That was all for today's special. So we continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا ربي يا رحمن. شكرا يا رب،
شكرا يا رب،
يا منزل القرآن، يا خالق الإنسان، يا ربي يا رحمن. شكرا يا رب.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.